from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Now, this is the show where we do what we say. We truly lean local into what's important in our community here. And we have great interest in national politics, and I think you get a lot of opportunities on national networks and the national media to hear about what's going on in Ukraine and in Israel, and that's important, and you should be in tune with that. And there's things going on in the state that are important that I hope you're following. But what I do on this show is talk about what's going on locally. And as was said in the intro, I spent my life in local politics, 20 years on the Brown County Board, and then of course mayor for 4 terms. And people, it's funny when it comes to sometimes local stuff, people aren't as engaged, but everybody, I'm going to go and vote for president. And I think it's important. You should vote. You should vote all the time. But, you know, what's going on here in Brown County, Northeast Wisconsin, Appleton, Oshkosh? I mean, you know, we have to lean local. And the other thing about this show, I'm going to step a little bit away from that today, but I'm a nonpartisan guy, right? I mean, everybody, right, left. Here we're nonpartisan. People would always say to me when I was in politics, you know, red or blue, and it's like green to me. Boy, it's not green because it's money. Green because it's about Green Bay. But you know, something that's important that affects us both on the national level and locally here is the congressional seat. And as you know, or you should know, we have an opportunity here to elect a new congressional leader in this District 8, the 8th congressional district, and that's a large area, I think, what, 600,000-700,000 people. And that's important because there's some local funding, there's some local decisions that are influenced at what goes on in Congress. So today I have a very special guest, Roger Roth, who I think you know the name. Oh, is that Toby's son? It's not. It's his nephew, but it's from the Roth blood, right?
That's
and
right.
And we are going to hear from him today, and we're going to talk for the next hour about politics and at the local level, but also what drives someone to pursue a job in Congress, which I haven't done any surveys, but anecdotally, I don't think it appears to be working real well. So, Roger, welcome.
Well, thank you.
All right, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I appreciate being on the show.
Yeah, and you, you're jumping in.
Yeah, I have jumped in, seems months ago. We're down to 12 days, you know, from when we're here today. And
This show airs on Sunday, so it's less than that.
All right, so it's going to be quite significantly. I remember when it was 184 days.
Yeah.
So it's been a long journey, but a very positive one. Had the opportunity, working hard each and every day, to go to all 11 counties here of Northeast Wisconsin and just meet voters. And that's the best part of my job. I get to meet people at their businesses, at their homes, find out their issues and concerns, which is great for me because as a leader, you want someone who can absorb and understand the district so that when they go where they're going, they can lead.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing. I'm listening, I'm learning. And then later this year, we're going to get out to Washington. We're going to lead. Wow. Lead for the people of Northeast Wisconsin.
That's awesome because you are elected to represent your district. You know, and I think when people become distant, and that happens. I mean, I don't know why, but it does happen where it's like, the only time I see them is around, you know, campaign time. But this is not new to you.
No, I've been in elected politics a little bit in my life. I served 2 terms in the state assembly, served 2 terms in the state Senate with Governor Scott Walker, who's endorsed me in this race. And I just think that's important. You know, when you're looking to send somebody out to Washington, you want to send someone out with a little experience. That's what our founding fathers wanted. The people that we sent out to Washington, they had a little experience in the state legislatures under their belt. And I just think that's so very important because you look at the gravity of the moment here in 2024. We need men and women of integrity in the halls of Congress. And I'm bringing real world experience in small business, in the military, and in the legislature to be able to go out there and advocate and lead for the people in Northeast Wisconsin on day one.
I'm going to jump to one of my last questions because you kind of alluded to it. Our founding fathers, I think they framed an unbelievable Constitution and Bill of Rights. I think they assumed, and that's not good, but I think they assumed people are going to go and do a tour of duty or two and leave. And people are there for 30, 40 years, both sides. I'm not saying this is Republican
that's
or
right.
Democrat.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I accomplished a lot of things. Some people think the best thing I did was institute term limits in Green Bay for the mayor, for council, and for the municipal judges. Where are you at with that? Because that, I'm telling you, that's a,
yeah.
And I really can't, or they tell me I can't have my own personal issues, but that is something that's very personal to me. I mean, I've said this to everybody, so I'm not picking on anybody.
No, I hear from it from people all over the district. I've signed a pledge, a term limit pledge, and I will be working in Congress to bring that about nationally. I think it's important. I was just speaking with a group of individuals at a breakfast this morning, and that issue came up. And I think it's important that we get that new perspective, that new blood out there. Issues change, the times change, the way and modes of thinking change. And I think that's why it's important that we put those limits on it. I mean, look it out there with Joe Biden. You know, he's not running for president, I know, anymore, but just the very thought that he was willing to. And it's not just at the president level. In the U.S. Senate, you know, we've got people who've been out there for decades.
Schumer, McDonald. I mean, both sides,
absolutely.
Right? I just
want
to say, some people say, you're picking on the Democrats. I've got, this is both sides. And the thing is, you're going to be this young freshman congressman, which I don't really like that term, but that's what they call you guys. But if it doesn't, how are you going to get it on the table? Because it's been proposed before, but these insecure people who couldn't get a $50,000 job, who are making a fortune with all this power, like, tell me how that's going to work. Because I think that's more important. I don't think people talk about it enough, because I don't think people understand it enough. But that has really been hurting this country.
Well, I think the answer to that is each and every year we're electing nationally more and more people who are committed to this. And that's what you need. You need to build critical mass out in Washington. It's not just term limiting, by the way. The legislators, the other side of the equation is we've got a term limit, the deep state. We literally have people, bureaucrats out there, same thing, been out there 20, 30, 40 years. Well, you can't term limit the Congress and not the administrative state, or you just tip the balance of power. And these are unelected, at least with politicians, they're elected. They must come before the voters every 2-4 years or 6 for the U.S. Senate. But these bureaucrats, they never come before the voters, and they hold immense power. So as we look at this issue, yeah, it's building that critical mass and making sure that we set it up and structure it in such a way that we don't tip the balance towards the administrative state.
I just want to dig a little bit deeper on that. So how are you going to address that? I mean, I would agree with the bureaucrat thing. And everybody thinks bureaucrats are in Washington. Well, they're kind of locally, too, a little bit. You know, I don't mind. I don't know. I can say that. And how do you address that, though? The guy who's been running this department for 30 years and just waiting for WRS to kick in.
Well, a lot of the people running the departments at the upper level, they would be political appointees. So they would be appointed by a president, confirmed by the Senate. There's quite a bit of turnover there. It's when you get lower than that. And I just think it's important is we're putting together this proposal that we make sure that we just have it, we're working on both sides of that equation.
I like that.
It's just going to take building that critical mass and legislators working together to do the right thing.
Right. I'm going to get to your major issues, and that sounds like that's one of them. I think people take comfort in that. But I want to talk more about Roger Roth as a person. I want people to get to know you. I will tell you this just from my personal perspective. I think that's awesome you're willing to do this. I don't think it's an easy job. You've got young kids. They were young when we used to do breakfast on the farm. They're still young, right?
They're still, well, we kept having more of them. So,
okay.
Yeah, the oldest just turned 11. The youngest is 4. We got 5 little boys.
Yeah. Wow. And that's commendable. I mean, you're going to be gone and
it's a challenge. I'm not going to deny it. It's a challenge. It's something we've done before. Look, I've 20 years in the military, done training exercises, gone away, deployments and so forth. And we've been able to, as a family get through that. And I look, going out to DC is kind of the same thing as going out on a deployment. It's not my home. My home is going to be here in Northeast Wisconsin, always will be. But we're not walking into this blind to the challenges this will be for our family. And that's why we're trying to maximize opportunities. And even on the campaign, you know, we're out here, and for me, the best parts of the week are my Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, because when I'm out on the trail, I've got my wife and my five boys right there with me. And it's a family thing for us. It's a family adventure for us.
That's awesome. I think my kids were young, and then, but after a while, I got a little bit old, but I think that's great. And obviously your wife is very supportive of this, or you wouldn't be doing it. Tell me a little bit about the military experience. I want to get into the issues later. I want to just talk about you right now. Tell me, you grew up in Appleton.
Yeah.
You own a construction company. You work in construction. And yeah, but tell me about that high school to where you are.
Yeah. Graduated high school, went to college, UW Oshkosh. Worked every weekend, all my summers, holidays, to be able to pay for and afford college. And then after college, I joined the military. It was right around of the beginning, 9/11 happened, and joined the military, wanted to do my part. And the military was probably second to, you know, asking my wife to marry me, probably the best decision I ever made was joining the military. And it taught me so much, just serving with these men and women in an employed environment. So proud just of the caliber of men and women that we have in this country. And just want to make sure that I can do my part out in Washington to make sure that these men have the training and women, the training, the equipment, the resources, the technology and equipment they need to be war fighters and to defend and protect our country. And we need someone out there with a military background who understands this, understands their plight, not just theirs, but the families here at home, the veterans here at home, making sure they get the service and the care they need. And I think that's just an important part to and dynamic to this race.
So when we come back, I want to pick up on that a little bit with military. I want to talk a little bit education. I think there's a connection there. There's some countries that it's required, right? 2 years. And I'm just curious your perspective on that. And I do want to talk about some economic things that I got to ask you. I'm not supposed to voice my opinion. I want to ask you some strategies that you have in mind. We are here with our very special guest, Roger Roth, who's a candidate for the Congressional District 8 here in Northeast Wisconsin. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lead Local with Jim Schmidt. With Jim Schmidt, and we are with our special guest, Roger Roth, the candidate for the congressional office here in U.S. Congress. And well, before we went to break, Roger, we were talking a little bit about your military experience and not only how that's prepared you in life, right, to be a business leader and a dad, but for politics. Pick up on that a little bit more.
Yeah, it was a transformative experience. And I just remember, you know, going to basic training for the first time. And I think it's a similar story for anyone who's served. They strip you of the individual. Like the first thing we did was we got there. We had to, you know, they cut our hair so that we all looked the same. We took our clothes off. You know, we had to strip down. We all wore the same underwear, the same socks, the same uniform. Like they took away the individual and they built out of it a team. And when I look at what's happening in Washington, I see an institution that's dysfunctional because there's so many individuals, there's so many personalities, so many people who want to be the next celebrity, who want to be the next darling of the cable news circuit and so forth, but nobody that wants to work together on a team. And there's literally nothing you can't accomplish if you have that team-oriented environment. And I look forward to going out to Washington, taking that experience with me, and working with those men and women in the halls of Congress together to advance and move this country in the right direction.
My intern Kyle's liking that, right? I mean, you turn his, yeah, he...
I was actually going to ask, for a guy like me, I'm 20 years old, you know, I'm pretty ambitious and I have some things going on for me. Would it still be a good option, do you think, to just kind of walk away from what little I do have and join the service and just get the education
Absolutely.
That I offer?
100%. In fact...
Well, he's got a lot going for him, I will say that, but
yeah,
anyway.
In fact, you can join the National Guard here in Wisconsin, and we've got components, whether you're National Guard or Reserve, so... Whether you wanted to join the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and the Marines, we have Coast Guard. We've got those components. And the best part of it is it allows you to get that experience and that understanding to serve your country, get that training in education. But more than anything, we need men and women right now in our country who are willing to fight for our country. Our military can't meet recruiting goals right now, and that's a very dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be, you're not, if you have a nation where people don't want to stand up and fight and defend, I would argue, what kind of a nation do you have?
Okay, I've had
is why I'm advocating you need to join. I would say join in a heartbeat. It's the best thing you'll ever do in your life.
Okay, hearing that from you, that's inspirational, but what you said before is a true statement. No one's hitting their goals except I think the Marines are, but the other four branches are not. I had someone in here, I was interviewing, remember that, Kyle? And I said, what's it going to take? I mean, I think it takes people like leadership. I think it takes people like you, me, teachers, community leaders. He's like, nah, that's not going to work. What we need is something bad to happen. We need another 9/11 to get people to get motivated. I'm curious as to... You've given this talk before about how beneficial the military can be to a young person and given their lifelong skills. I want to ask you, how can we help that? Because we've had people in here. That's a very dangerous thing that we're not hitting our goals.
Absolutely. And the answer to it is, you know, we just have to, and part of that is, if you think about it from an educational standpoint, everything we're being told right now is about how bad America is. And I think we've got to flip, you know, we're not perfect. Okay, let's be honest. America isn't perfect, never has been. In fact, in the preamble to our Constitution, we talk about becoming a more perfect union, just recognizing that there will always be those opportunities to perfect this experiment, this great American experiment. But I think that has had an effect on people, a negative association to where they're like, well, what's the point in going and in fighting for this evil, racist country? And I'm telling you that for all of our faults, and we certainly have many, we are still the strongest and the brightest example of what humanity can do when they come together to protect individual liberty. Nowhere in the world do they have what we have, but we need men and women who are willing to stand up and wear a uniform. And that's why I would strongly encourage anyone who is thinking about it. It will set you up for a life of success.
That's awesome. I mean, I think that's got to get out a little bit more. So with that said, and I'm going to move on, just put this, I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So to ensure that our veterans receive, you know, the care, I mean, you must have, I think we're doing a pretty good job. I always hear that we could be doing more, but I'd like to think that VA clinic was a good step in the right direction for our district, which came out of the congressional office.
Absolutely. Yeah. Making sure that we can get that care closer to the veterans is what's so very important. And as a veteran who receives care, I go to the VA down in Appleton, the John Bradley Center. Yearly, I have my checkups and so forth. But just having that experience and understanding is why veterans know I will be able to go to Washington and stand for them because I've got that experience.
Awesome. Hey, I want to switch to the economy. And you know, I teach at TC, and I... you know, people, I worry a little bit of this economic stratification. I'm afraid that, you know, I've been to a lot of different countries, and the have and have nots is very, very dangerous. And the middle class is what built this country. And, you know, there's an argument that it's shrinking. And just, you know, I know there's not a magic bullet, but just your, I want to hear your take on the economy and some strategies that you may have given some thought to.
Well, we need some common sense out in Washington again. And if you look at the difference, this presidential election we're walking into now is going to be a referendum on the 4 years of Donald Trump in the 4 years of the Biden-Harris administration. And when you look from a middle class perspective, and that's what I am. I mean, I'm a home builder. I work with my hands. And I understand the plight of the men and women in the trades here, working in factories, trying to provide, put food on the table for their families. And they've had these last 4 years through reckless spending in Washington contributed to the inflation that we have over 20%. Groceries cost more. My wife and I can't get out of the grocery store. My boys go through 5 gallons of milk, 4 loaves of bread, 3 boxes of cereal, countless Goldfish crackers and yogurt tubes and applesauce pouches. Like we feel it. My wife and I feel it each and every day. The answer to it is having men and women of integrity in Washington who have lived what we're living. And that's what I am. I'm a blue collar guy who gets it. I experience how electricity prices going up 25%. I know how that affects my family. I know how it affects hardworking families all over Northeast Wisconsin. A gallon of gas costing between $1.30 and $1.50 more under Joe Biden. We can do this by having responsible budgeting out in Washington, stop the reckless spending, and really unleash the tap of energy production that we have in the United States, which this current administration is just simply unwilling to tap into. And if we do that, we can bring prosperity to the middle class and bring down inflation and make this a prosperous 4 years.
Okay, I agree with really everything you said. And the energy thing I want to set aside. Reckless spending, there's guilt to go around on everybody.
No question about
it. Because some people are like, oh, it's those guys. Like I've watched, I want to come back and talk a little bit budgeting. And then I really want to talk about the future and some things for our community here. But let's take a quick break here. Pay some bills. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt with our guest, Roger Roth, candidate for Congression District 8. Thank you. We'll be right back. When you live from day to day, city streets don't have much pity. This city on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. A weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Lean Local. We are continuing from the last half hour with our guest, Roger Roth. Now, Roger Roth, as many of you know, has been in politics, an Appleton guy in the private sector, military, and is running for Congress. And we were talking before we went to break kind of a little bit about income equality. I think we started with that, but went to a talk on inflation and then talked about reckless spending. And before we went to break, I'm like, Roger, you know, there's a lot of guilt to go around on reckless spending. I mean, it's crazy. And my concern with the reckless spending is there's not enough pain with a bad budget yet for Americans. You know, we don't feel the pain yet of $35 trillion. So,
well, I think we're starting to. So $35 trillion, you see, you look at where the mortgage rates are, you look at where the treasuries are going. And it's all because of this spending. And so the idea, we're at over 100% debt to GDP ratio right now in America. We've only ever experienced this before during wartime, World War II. And this isn't like just a little blimp and going back down. This is projected to carry out into the future. And Americans are going to feel this. And that's why the answer to this is to elect people of integrity willing to go out there and make the tough decisions. That's why we've kicked the can down the road too long. To your point, both Republicans and Democrats, I will agree with you on that. But it is time now for us to stand up and recognize that $35 trillion, over 100% debt to GDP, something's got to get done. Your family budget wouldn't survive. My wife and I would be broke right now if we budgeted the way Washington budgets. The federal government doesn't allow the states at the state level. They must pass a balanced budget. It's time we pass a balanced budget at the federal level. It seems like common sense. The answer to it is just to send people of integrity out there who will actually do it. And I will do that.
Love it. We talked about, I want to get to your issues, but I think you're without me asking specifically what your issues are. They're coming out. Term limits is something that you're passionate about. A balanced budget amendment, or, and I don't know if you're going to get, I hope the country gets there. I don't think they're going to, but if nothing else, just, and there's been different proposals, line item budgeting instead of this whole continuing resolution, which is just,
I was just
going to
say, we can start by actually passing a budget, mm-hmm. and they don't even do that right now. Right. And, you know, getting back to regular order, passing a budget and having a normal appropriations process will take us half of the way there.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me, and you've given this a lot of thought. What you want to accomplish there? What else is on your agenda?
Yeah, border security is very important to me. I was down at the southern border 3 weeks ago. Had some high level briefings from former Trump administration officials. Was able to meet with local law enforcement. And the truth of the matter is, it's far worse than anything you will ever watch on television or read in a newspaper. And what starts at that southern border, it doesn't stay there. It comes right here to Northeast Wisconsin. We had over across the southern border, 95% of all fentanyl crosses our southern border. In 2023 alone, there were 1 billion doses of fentanyl that crossed that southern border, and it claimed the lives of 100,000 Americans. And no one in Washington is blinking an eye. We have got to secure that border, and I will do that. I will work with a coalition of the willing to make sure that that gets done. It is of immense importance to me, and we can do it. I mean, I'm down there. You're seeing the wall that was built, the Trump wall that was built, and you see right where it ends. In fact, the border agents call the right where it ends, they call it the Biden wall. Literally a couple strands of barbed wire. You could jump over it, literally hop, skip, and jump over it. And it's sitting there. All the remaining portions of the wall are just stacked up, ready to be installed. They just need a country that's a leadership out in Washington willing to do it. So getting that wall fixed, that is important to me. We talked about the economy, tackling Bidenomics. Getting an economy that works for all Americans, tackling inflation, that is important to me, energy production. But then the military, making sure that we have the ability to project deterrence around the world. We don't see that right now, which is why Russia was unfazed and they started the first land war in Europe in over 70 years. It's why Iran was unfazed when they allowed Hamas to brutally attack Israel on October 7th. They're unfazed allowing the Houthis in the Red Sea to attack commercial shipping. Like, the America needs to stand up and protect our interests again, and that comes by having a strong national defense. As someone who's worn a uniform, I will go to Washington and advocate for our warfighters.
I want to talk about fentanyl, because I've tried... You got something, Kyle?
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a question I was eventually going to ask, and it's like, what are you going to do for Green Bay? And I think that the border... is a big part of that, because there is a fentanyl issue, you know, all over the country, and we're experiencing that even here.
Man,
and we've talked about that many times on the show, so I think you've sort of already answered my question, and I think that's something we should talk about a little more.
We have the guy from the who's coming on, Pritzel?
Eric.
The guy who runs the County Health and Human Services. Here's my issue with my that we get him on here. Sheriff's coming on. We've had a couple other people on here. We've had that Mandy who runs that fentanyl rehab place. Fentanyl is a problem in Green Bay, but nobody talks about it. They all talk about, oh, the NFL draft. And look, I'm glad the NFL draft is coming. And this new shiny building for the VCB, which, you know, is was that my top priority? You know, I was pretty open about it. But when we have homelessness and fentanyl right here, you look out the window. I mean, we're right here downtown Green Bay. We see it every morning. And you look at that fentanyl, 200 people a day die from fentanyl overdose. Do you realize if we had a plane crash that killed 200 people a day, 2 days in a row, they'd shut down the airlines?
100%.
And
yeah,
this goes on. And we've had people, we had a mother on here who lost a kid to fentanyl. And she's like, I don't want to be I don't want to be the face of fentanyl. You right. guys need to do that. Or right. somebody needs to do it.
And we just need leadership in Washington. Look, 95% of fentanyl is coming from our southern border. We can stop that if we have actual border security there. And it's why I'm running in this. You mentioned the, you know, how long would we tolerate plane crashes? Look, on 9/11, 19 terrorists hijacked airplanes, killed 3,000 Americans, and we went to war to show resolve that we're not going to allow you to do this. We're going to bring justice to the people who perpetrated and killed innocent Americans. And right now, 100,000 Americans are dying each and every year from these drug overdoses that are coming across our border, and no one is batting an eye.
That's what we talk about on this show. It's the first time you're on here. We've talked, right, Kyle? We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. This fentanyl, how it's like, how can you not, and I've got some friends and who work in the funeral home business, and it's not publicized. And I would be embarrassed if my son or daughter died of fentanyl, and I wouldn't want it in the front page of the paper, but I don't know, you're not going to address it unless you talk about it.
No, and these are real, and I've talked with families who've lost loved ones because of it. And it's sad and it's tragic, but thankfully many who I'm talking to are like, we want to raise our voice to raise the awareness of this issue. But this is huge. And this is something that you talk to local law enforcement, as you guys have, it's everywhere in Northeast Wisconsin, in the rural areas, obviously here in the cities, like we have got to, this is destroying a generation of Americans.
Well, you're optimistic. So am I. That would be awesome. I mean, if you guys do nothing else, if you can just, reduce this fentanyl, it's awful. Hey, the other thing that's near and dear to my heart, I work at the New Community Homeless Shelter. Homelessness, it's a problem. And I know you're going to mention veterans homelessness, and I get that too. But it's a problem for everybody, for kids, for adults, actually, it's pretty sad. There's a lot of older people. That's the fastest growing homeless market is some of the older people. So, like, what can you do in Congress I think it's talked about more than fentanyl, but it's still a little bit of an awareness problem, I think, in this community.
Well, I think part of it is just look at the cost of housing right now. And I'm not going to ask you, Jim, the cost of your first home, but I'm guessing your starter home, when you and your wife first started out, like, significantly less than what a house is going for now. Certainly was for my wife and I. We were about $120,000, I think, was our starter home when we first bought a home. The average home right now in America is over $400,000.
Yeah.
And there just isn't enough affordable housing out there. And a lot of that has to do with government regulation. The EPA just came out with new efficiency standards in residential construction, which they estimate are going to raise the cost of a new home, $30,000. Like, this is moving, this is government moving in the wrong direction, making and pricing more people out of homes. So what we can do from a government perspective is get rid of the needless regulation and bureaucratic tape, work with local governments, and there are some across Northeast Wisconsin that I've been talking to and working with that are actively working with developers. They want to have that partnership and collaboration so that they can come in and build the kind of affordable housing, the workforce housing that's necessary to help keep people, provide them a roof over their head, but have them give a place where they can actually work and live. And we don't have that right now, but it's going to take a collaborative solution then, and also having the federal government not getting in the way.
Amen to that. I'm one of those guys who spent more on my last car than I did on my first house. So I'm older than you. But it's crazy. But when you talk about affordable housing, everybody just thinks about apartments, but we need single family homes. We need a place to play ball and to just have your own little fire in the backyard.
And we need communities,
right?
We need city, I'm talking municipalities that actually don't just say that they want it and then put up barriers, land use restrictions and regulations to keep it out. We need municipalities actually working together to work with developers, and you can do this. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, well, you would know that you're out of that world. I don't want to leave homelessness just yet with affordable housing. I mean, there's a bigger issue with that, and it's not money. I mean, you look at what California has done with, and I used to live out there, and you go to Venice Beach now, it's like, we're not welcome anymore. It's crazy. And the money that Newsom and they put at that, and it's worse. you must have given some. What are people telling you? I mean, people must talk that homelessness is a problem, right? I mean, I hope we're not blind to that.
Absolutely. And we see it more prevalent here in the Fox Valley. But I think there's a component of mental health with that as well. And you're right. It's in many instances, it's not for a lack of money. And we've seen just going through the pandemic, I think it's been exacerbated and gotten worse. No, we have a mental health crisis right now, and we're seeing it manifest in many ways.
True that. All right. So this election's coming up on April 13th, right? That's the primary. We can vote now, though.
August 13th. But yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I knew that. I don't know.
You're focused more on the nonpartisan mayor, spring elections. Yeah,
the mayor's race.
That's right.
Yeah. No. I know it's August 13th. And tell me, how are things going?
We feel great. Yeah, we feel great. Just the enthusiasm we're getting. Look, it's a serious time right now in the history of our nation, and you know we're just bringing our message, and it's resonating. You know, I've got the home building experience, got the military experience, got the legislative experience. My wife and I, we're raising 5 boys. I say that because we've got skin in this game. We're heavily vested in making sure that we've got an America for the next generation and future generations of America. It's what inspires me each and every day. And I just want to humbly ask for the votes of your listeners here as we move forward and start on this historic effort.
You got the energy, experience. Yeah. Good luck to you, man. I know you've been at this for a while. Khan, I'm going to hold you over for just one more second. I got 2 more questions for you. All right. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest, Roger Roth. Wrapping it up here, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have one more segment left, and Roger has to get to another event, but I tackled him and said, look, I got a few more questions for you. The program's called Lean Local, and there's 435 people that will be elected to Congress and go out to D.C. and work for the betterment of this country, but they all represent a district, and Roger would be representing Congressional District 8th, so... I just want to talk about a couple local things that you think is someone who was born and raised here, owns a business here, served in the reserves here. What do you think you can do for the local community here in Northeast Wisconsin? Some of your goals?
Yeah, well, as a member of Congress, represent 800,000 people here in Northeast Wisconsin. And by going out there, the committees you serve on are where you have the most influence and the most impact. And I'm looking forward to going out and serving on Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which I think would be of immense benefit, helping me advocate for communities here in Northeast Wisconsin, making sure that the transportation needs are being met, the infrastructure needs are being met. I was just a couple of weeks ago on an overpass on the I-41 project, got up in the middle of the night, about 3:30 in the morning, and out pouring concrete with some of the folks out there here is we expand that, make it 3 lanes from the lower Fox Valley up here to Green Bay, and just making sure that Northeast Wisconsin has that representation on that committee, I think is so very important. Look forward to be able to serving on that, serving on the Armed Services Committee. I think that would be very important for all of the defense contractors we have here in Northeast Wisconsin. And then making a play, you know, a lot of people don't know it, Congress, you get out there hard, certainly you get elected to get on the committees. It's like running for student council again. You've got a steering committee, and you've got to convince them to vote for you, to put you on these committees. And they don't let freshmen on what they call A-level committees. But I want to work to get on the Energy and Commerce Committee because I think I could provide some immediate impact here in future. You know, this is looking past my first term, but helping out Northeast Wisconsin there as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to add transportation. I mean, you can't build enough good roads for me, you know, and I'm a car guy. I love driving. I got the speeding tickets to prove it, but I think we have great safe roads here. I think what you're doing or what we're doing, what the country's doing on 41, I think is awesome. Long overdue, but awesome. Tell me about the whole airport situation. I mean, this country has more airports than any other country in the world. It's convenient. It's nice. Do you see consolidation of airports? Do you like the Appleton and Green Bay? Have you, you must have given.
I fly a lot out of both of them. And I love how between the two of them, we have direct flights to most of the parts of the United States right now. So I think it just is providing choice to consumers here in Northeast Wisconsin, being able to. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, if you wanted to get anywhere, whether it was out of Green Bay or Appleton, you were first flying to Minneapolis, Detroit, or Chicago. And then from there, you could find your connecting flight. But more often than not, we have direct flights here, and I think that's great. Whether or not there's going to be consolidation, I don't know. I think Green Bay and Appleton are pretty proud of the airports, and rightfully so, and yeah, the service that they're able to provide for folks. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I just got to, you're here, high-speed rail.
Yeah. What about it?
I mean, passenger rail.
Yeah, passenger rail.
It
makes sense in certain areas. It wouldn't make sense in Wisconsin.
Okay, yeah, because one of your big supporters wasn't a big fan of it. I mean, Walker wasn't real high on high-speed
rail. Well, you need a lot of population to make that work, and that's where on the East Coast they're able to make that work. Certainly, if you look in other countries and other regions of the world where they have higher concentrations of population in closer areas, you can make it work. But here, look, in California, they're spending billions of dollars to build high-speed rail. It's running over budget. It's never going to have a return on investment. And again, it's a nice idea, but the economics have to work, and it would not work in Wisconsin.
I've been to quite a few of those meetings. I can't voice my own opinion, but I think you're on.
Although I will tell you, for the NFL draft, I believe they're trying to get rail service to come up from Milwaukee to Green Bay. So I do believe that I've heard that they're working to bring rail service up, and I think that might be that'd be very intriguing to see how that goes over, how it's utilized.
Those Canadians are going to let them use those lines. good luck with that. I just think they're tough. I had a hard time working with them. Maybe it was me. But anyway. Okay. So, hey, the Southern Bridge, that's federally funded. The coal piles, potentially federally funded. Have you given any thought to those two?
Yeah, I want to make sure. I want to use my voice out in Washington to advocate for the people of Northeast Wisconsin. And sitting on the T&I committee provides me that opportunity. And I will make sure to work closely. And make sure, you know, as I mentioned on the onset, right now I'm listening and I'm learning so that I can go out to Washington and lead. That's what this job is about, solving complex problems. And I'm the candidate in this race that has the broad set of experiences, both in 25 years in small business, 20 years in the military, 4 deployments overseas, still serving as a captain in a fighter wing here in Wisconsin, had the time in the state legislature. And just really looking forward to taking all of that out to Washington, work with a coalition of the willing to move not only our nation forward, but Northeast Wisconsin as well.
That's awesome, Roger. We got 1 minute left. I'm not a big endorsement guy, but anything else you want to mention? I mean, you've really gone through what you're going to do. I think you're very convincing. You've given this a lot of thought.
Let me just say that this election isn't about me, and it's not about you. It really isn't even about the listeners who are listening right now. This election is about the kind of America we are going to be a generation from now. It's about my 5 little boys and all of our kids and grandkids. What kind of a country are we going to give them? I will go out there and fight and advocate each and every day for the freedoms and the values that we hold so dear. And that's why I humbly ask for your vote on August 13th.
You're awesome. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We've been, you're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Roger Roth, our very special guest. And, you know, as we mentioned, August 13th, it's a primary, and the the voter turnout's kind of low on that day. So let's do this community, this district a favor, and let's get out and vote. It's important. I mean, not only what they're going to do nationally, but what they're going to do right here in Northeast Wisconsin. 800,000 of us are going to benefit if we put the right guy in office. So, yeah, thank you for listening. Next Sunday, we got another candidate who will be running for office as well. Appreciate you listening here. Again, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Thanks for joining us.